Hey, billionaires, you're tuned in to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Billions, Season 2, Episode 5, Currency. Join us as we break down the episode and give you our thoughts and predictions. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
That's right, I said us, because finally, I have a co-host back. Welcome on in, everybody, to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Billions. Season 2, Episode 5, it's Currency. I am your lead host, Frank Majorana. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Go Frank M. And after a three-week hiatus...
Here we go.
She's back. My girl, Andy Fasano.
Welcome back. Hi, Frank. Thank you. I'm really excited to be back here to talk Billions. You know, I watched it. I mean, I wasn't here to talk about it, but I still have kept up with the show.
Where can the people find you on social media?
Well, you guys, thank you for having me back. You guys can follow me on all social media at Andy Fasano.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we've got a great episode to discuss. Before we do that, though, we'd like to always start our show with our social media shout-outs, so be sure to use that hashtag ABTVBillions out there on Twitter or commenting directly on our YouTube page. And Andrea's going to read some of the comments that we had from last week's episode now.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have been doing such an awesome job of sticking with us. And by us, yeah. I mean Frank, because he's been doing a hell of a job holding it down for the last 3 weeks. So good job, Frank.
Oh, shucks.
And so we have one by Ms. Lost Nikita. I believe this person followed us last season, so way to hang in, Ms. Lost Nikita. She, I believe, says, wouldn't be surprised if Taylor is the one switching sides and working with Chuck at some point, which is a super interesting point. Taylor's reaction to the poker game made me think that there might be problems ahead with the way Bobby's handling things. So I thought that was really interesting because obviously she was going back another episode, but really... fun point.
Yeah, and you know what made me think, what that comment made me think of was that essentially Taylor's on a week-to-week contract, mm-hmm. too. So a little bit more evidence to give that point some credence.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah, and we saw in tonight's episode, Axe was kind of saying, what are you doing here? When it was an all-hands-on-deck meeting, and Taylor was like, I thought this was something that I should be at, and Bobby was like, go back and do your job, and sort of dismissed them, mm-hmm. Dismissed Taylor. So, interesting point. I like that prediction out there.
That's really thinking out of the box, people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I love our listeners.
And then, to your point, we have Captain Osage, who said, who laughed at your relation between Showtime and football.
Right.
So, they just went on about that and saying that there's definitely a theme there and how it goes into football pays with their pride. So, yeah, really good stuff on here. And also, they also said, can't wait to see how this celebrity plenty of fish dating thing works out.
Yeah, so remember there's the app that everybody was trying to get on.
Yes.
And it was the,
when he was trying to hack into it.
Yeah, but it actually went nowhere. We haven't heard of it since. And really the WAG storyline has evolved into a self-reclamation project for WAGs. And I love the start of this episode. We have WAGs walking into Axe's office. He's clear-eyed, his hands not shaking anymore. He seems to be fully recovered from the drug and the drink, the drugs and the drinking and the women.
The partying,
the hotel room, him waking up with his Yosemite Sam tattoo on his ass.
Hilarious.
It was great. I'm glad we got to see the tattoo this week.
Right.
I complained about that last week, not getting a chance to see it.
Did you make a prediction about what that was? Because I was wondering why, I really wish I was here so that people could make predictions about what that, because I had no idea.
Actually, one of our listeners pointed out on Twitter, I'm going to read this person's name. It's at Britt Pinella. And this person said, love the podcast. Wags's tattoo was alluded to being a Yosemite Sam tattoo on his butt.
Okay.
And then Britt used the hashtag ABTVBillions. So Britt, you're awesome. You're amazing. Thank you
for doing that.
And Britt also sent me a picture of a Yosemite Sam with a Texas Longhorn logo on his hat. So thank you for the vivid example of the tattoo that was on Wags' ass. So when that scene was happening, I was like, oh yeah, that's the Yosemite Sam
right there
on his right ass cheek. So that was super funny. But I like that Wags is becoming a redemption story as opposed to just this guy who was, I thought, pushing it at points from a character perspective, just saying these lines that I don't think any real human being would say. Mm-hmm. So I liked seeing him come back. And actually, we learned at the end of the episode, offered his resignation to Axe. So there was a significant journey that he's been on in the past couple days. What'd you think of Wags this episode?
I loved it. I was so tired. I was getting a little tired of him and his partying ways and just that whole demise of his character. I just knew that had to come to a culmination of some point, and this was it. And it was like, not only did we see, I was a little concerned that they would put him in rehab and he would disappear. Because we know that Wags is everybody's favorite character to hate and love, you know, love to hate. So I was really happy with the way they went about it, having him go back to Wendy, having him actually talk about his problems on screen and have us hear that out and kind of see the wheels turning and how that really affected him. Mm-hmm. I'm so interested in that psychology. And so it was interesting. I liked it. I was happy with it.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it adds another layer to the character that we hadn't seen before. A real vulnerability.
That's absolutely it. The vulnerability of him and his ego, because we know this world is all about egos. Yeah. And him kind of saying, okay, you know, I'm ready to move on. If you're done with me, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. Said a lot about the depth of, you know, where he's come from. Yeah. So,
But I also did like that he walked out of the office and said, coffee. You know, he opens up the glass door. He's like, coffee, as if to say, all right, I'm back.
I'm back. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was cool. Maybe we'll see a more refined Wags going forward. Because it seems like Wendy really did some work on him. And took him through some exercises. We know that Wags has been out of the picture for 48 hours because we learned in the flashback that all these events happened over the past 2 days. I thought it was a cool way to open the episode because we instantly flashed to this Samsonic tech receiving an award and then walks into his apartment and walks right out the ledge.
That
and
was
kills
crazy.
Himself. If you've seen, it reminded me of Game of Thrones, where Tommen walks out and kills himself after he realizes that his queen has died.
Absolutely. I didn't put that together, but it's crazy to me because Billions is so nuts where you cannot even look at your phone. You can't look away for a second because if there's nothing happening verbally on screen, you better be watching because there is something happening nonverbal that you just need to see what's happening. And him, that whole scene, I knew it obviously would affect the stocks, but it's kind of amazing to think about the power of putting that in as a scene versus somebody just speaking about it.
Just speaking about
Samsonic going down or what happened with them, because that happens a lot of the time. But for them to pick that and say, describe, like, that's how it went. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really freaky to watch, and it reminded me of that scene. And, you know, the actor was not upset, was not distraught, just sort of walked into his apartment, took his tie off, set his award down, and calmly walked out and threw himself off his balcony. It was really freaky, but you're right in that you can't look away. And sometimes while I'm watching the episode live, I'll watch the East Coast feed and I'll be following on Twitter on my iPad. And so I'll be reading, you know, a message that the Billions Twitter account put out or, you know, the show creators put out. And I'll hear something on the TV that I missed and then I got to hit the rewind button right away. So you're exactly right. I have the same thought about not looking away when you have a chance to take the full episode. So now I actually put the iPad down and I'll watch the whole thing.
Absolutely. Brian Kopelman, I know, tweets a lot, especially about the show. So I could imagine that you want to kind of integrate that in your thoughts, but you can't. Because especially as soon as you focus away, even the words, the verbiage, we've talked about this before, you can't miss it.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise you got to watch it again.
Yeah, I get probably 2 to 3 rewinds in every episode of, you know, 10 to 30 seconds just so I can make sure I caught something that they said.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We have followers during our broadcast as well, and I can look away because I'm the one talking, right? And so we have New Life 99 who said, clip-on because of the tie being a clip-on, which I actually noticed, and I thought that was so funny because it really was a test to, like, who that guy was, you know, like a testament to what his real character was, who jumped out the window. Like, I don't know. I think that says something about being non-committal, not kind of... I know the viewers are going to have an opinion on that in some way.
Well, yeah, send us in your thoughts on the clip-on tie for this guy. Use that hashtag ABTVBillions like we have before. So this Samsonic, which is, I mean, it's sort of like an allusion to Samsung if in real life. And it's actually a really well-timed episode because of the Samsung Note recalls and the phones blowing up on the planes. You remember there's this whole story about a certain type of phone catching on fire on planes. Yep. So the Samsung Galaxy Note. So, you know, this company is called Samsonic. You know, there was the Samsung phone incident. And while the creators, of course, insist that that was completely fictional, I thought it's a crazy timing to be so prescient. So this Samsonic event feeds the rest of the episode because now Axe finds out he's going to have a negative quarter of negative growth. He's going to lose money, and it's the first time in years that he's ever had a negative quarter. He's going to be negative 2.3%. And Axe makes everyone stay late until they can figure out how they can quickly, and we're talking within 3 days, come up with something to make money quickly so his streak continues on. It feeds the rest of the episode and drives the rest of the action, and we end up with this Nigerian currency play. So it's a little bit confusing what they want to do, but what they essentially want to do is devalue the currency of Nigeria. But in order to do so, Axe needs some help from other big players. So he goes and gets Birch and Krakow.
His friends from the past.
Malvern. I mean, these are not friends.
I know,
these
are joking.
Sarcasm.
Yeah.
These are not friends. But I thought it was cool that they all got together. Like the dining, the cafe scene at the table, I thought was really cool.
You want to talk about an ode to other shows like Game of Thrones. Yeah. Tell me that wasn't a Sopranos scene.
Yeah. Oh, I thought the same thing.
Straight out of Sopranos. It was a diner, not his typical pizza place, not an office somewhere, just like a diner scene. It was so gritty.
Yeah.
And these bosses, these heads of... you know, companies all coming together. They all hate each other. Right. They're all at each other's necks, you know, like, so it was awesome. I love that. Birch is back.
Right.
We haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. I like that
scene. Yeah, and Axe screwed Birch last
Krakow's
season.
Krakow's the only one we've really seen this season.
Right. And so. But I really liked Krakow in this episode, actually. He's like,
I did too.
Ooh, aggressive. You know, he just has this little way that you hate him, but he's kind of funny to watch.
You hate him
because
he's annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's a great, great actor.
Oh, sure. You have a reaction to him as an audience member, and as an actor, that is what you want. You want someone, you want your viewers to have an opinion about you. So I really like that scene. You brought everybody together, but Birch screws Axe, and so this play is again in jeopardy. So Axe has to do something else. He has to get a credible name to go on the air and back what he's saying. So he goes to Boyd, and Boyd is going to basically rubber stamp what Bobby says by going on this show to ensure that the Nigerian currency gets devalued, the markets start to tank because Axe shorted the currency. So when that currency goes down, his company's going to make money. They're going to do it quickly, and then they're going to have the positive quarter. It gets to back to Bobby's acting in a way that is not, as he puts it, traditionally moral. So did you see a return of the old Axe in this episode? He fires Stephanie. He fired his chief of staff, someone he brought in order to avoid these types of ethical issues that haunted him last season with Chuck Rhodes. And now he's back to, in a way, manipulating currency for his own personal gain.
I have a few comments on that.
Okay.
One, as soon as Steph opened her mouth, I thought it was uncharacteristic of her to do that and tell him that. First of all, I'm like, you're not Wendy Rhodes.
Right.
He's going to flip on you right away. And I'm kind of glad that he fired her because it was out of line. That's not why he hired someone in her position to be chief of staff to tell him he's not a god.
That's so such a great point. Before you get to your next point, is just, I totally agree with you that she became Wendy, tried to tell him what he was thinking. She overstepped her bounds.
And she wasn't right. You know, Wendy would have pumped him up, would have said, you don't take this, you figure it out. Like, that's why Wendy was hired. That's why Steph was hired. And for her to tell him, you're not a robot, you're human, that's not what he wants to hear. And so he knows that he only wins by being inhuman. You know what I mean? So
that he goes against the standards of traditional morality, which is what I talked about, and which is why Boyd ultimately gets arrested. He's far too trusting of Rhodes, mm-hmm. takes the meeting with Rhodes last episode, and you see Boyd gets arrested at the end of it, but not before he does his favor for Bobby. Bobby always comes ahead. He's two steps ahead. He had an hour advance notice that Boyd was going to get arrested, and he hung his friend out to dry.
I thought that played really well, too.
You did.
Bobby's faces and everything, because I was wondering if he was going to say something.
Yeah.
And I like that they explained it all after the fact, you know, that he still told him ahead of time, said, is there anything I can do for you? You know, but that's the game they're all playing. So there's a huge respect between those two. Yeah. Obviously, Birch's respect gone. Krakow's like, I'm in, but you screw us and you're out.
Yeah.
And same with Malvern. You know, I think that's his name, Malvern.
Yep.
So it was really interesting to see the respect, the mutual respect between those two.
Well, I like the respect even after Boyd realized that Bobby screwed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says,
that's what I'm saying.
You know what?
He's
was smart.
Hold this, call my wife, tell her this.
Call my lawyer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Bobby does it and he's going to do it. And
yeah.
Boyd accepts that it was a smart move. And I think it would have been very easy to fall into a trap where, you know, Boyd is just mad. How could you do this to me? And that is such a standard, unnuanced way to deal with what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And instead, he keeps his cool and thinks logically about it without getting emotional. And I thought that was so cool.
Agreed. Agreed.
And just to write that scene to where, you know, Boyd doesn't get emotional. He listens. I mean, you just got told you're going to get arrested and you're going to jail. Mm-hmm. And the FBI is coming to get you. And you handle it. And you give Bobby your watch, which is probably worth $50,000. and he is already formulating a way to get out of it, to give his best defense. So I really liked that. And I liked your point, too, about it all being interwoven together.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that a lot. Speaking of Wendy Rhodes, though, did you notice tonight Bobby called Dr. Gus's office Wendy's office?
Uh-huh.
That was a big clue for me, something I've been predicting since the beginning of this season.
Very true.
That she's coming back. So mm-hmm. that is just another clue for me.
Yes.
Did you take it the same way?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, nobody likes this new guy. You know what I mean?
Gus, yeah.
And he's training for his, you know, Tour de France. Like, are you kidding? It was awesome. And I love, because everybody think about, like, if you've ever been in a corporate situation, like, who is this guy taking his stationary bike into his office, which is Wendy's office? Yes. Again, another nod to older Axe, you know, but mm-hmm. I don't think Axe has really ever gone away. He got scared, I think, a little bit, and he tried to play proper, but, you know, he's still there. The moral or immorality that he has, it's always there, and he's going to win, and, you know, it's all about the money. And there's been a lot with that over the last few episodes with the oath and that kind of thing, the giving oath mm-hmm. about him screwing people over for the better of him and his company.
Well, don't forget Donnie from last season, where he basically let Donnie die and talked with his doctor and didn't let him
Awful.
Get the proper treatment, which would give him, you know, a few more months with his family.
Yeah.
So we've seen this type of behavior before, and now it's returning, right? So there was this big scare at the end of the last season where Axe is ripping apart his office, hires new compliance staff. Now when you enter Axe Capital, you have to scan your key card. There's more security. We saw that when, at the beginning of the episode, Wags shows up with his car and there's three security guys right out front ready to take his car. Like, all of that is new. Now I think we're seeing a reversion back to the old Axe. But Boyd is going in front of him, in front of the gap, so that Axe can learn what's going to happen through this lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought there was a great line at the end of the episode where Chuck says, you know what, this is sort of foreshadowing for you and me. Mm-hmm. And Bobby goes, yeah, I agree. You arresting people and me walking out the door. Mm-hmm. That was so good.
It was so good.
That was probably my favorite line of the episode.
Agreed. And for them to be in a room like that, you know, again,
yeah.
I loved that as well. And just thought, I'm just thinking now how Rhodes waited for Boyd to kind of reactivate his plan.
Yeah.
And that's when he got him. I'm nervous for Axe to be doing the same kind of deal. Like,
what do you mean?
Doing deals that are, he shouldn't be doing,
right,
per se. And just acting, you know, outside of the guidelines.
Outside of the law.
Yeah. Guidelines. For Axe.
More sort of guidelines.
But exactly. And then, you know, that's when Rhodes... But Rhodes has so many other problems right now that he acts as, like, at the top, and he's got to climb his way back up there. So...
I want to get into Rhodes's other problem, which is his insecurity issues. But before we do that, I just want to remind everyone, please subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube so that you get our show every week. We air live Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Pacific, or you can download our show at any time after that, just straight on the podcast app, and we thank you for your support. So Rhodes is in therapy with Wendy and Turnster and says, I feel like I have to dress up around you so that people don't think that that he thinks that he's inferior, and it's such a limiting belief. I was so sad for him.
It was a sad moment.
And just, like, you know, personal story aside, for me, you know, one of these things in, like, dating coaches teach is don't have limiting beliefs. And one of the limiting beliefs that guys can have is placing women on pedestals, and you don't feel like you're good enough.
Right.
When you haven't even met this person, you don't know anything about her.
Frank, have you been to a dating coach?
Absolutely, I have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
That's awesome. We're revealing it here.
I don't have a problem admitting it.
I love that.
I would recommend it to any person out there who thinks, you know, that you want a little help in this area. If you can get over the social stigma of that and just learn about these things, mm-hmm, I think it's a great, great idea. So one of the things that they teach is, you know, you don't want to, and there's certain behaviors, like, you and I joke all the time with each other, and, like, this is, like, who I am, but if I'm meeting somebody new, then you're sort of the polite version of yourself, right? So it's more about getting to
that
point.
So you don't give them shit?
Right,
right,
no,
away.
It's just like, hi,
okay,
nice to meet
good
you,
to know,
you know, all that. Yeah, it just takes, you know.
And because of that, you know, I want to jump all over you for this dating coach stuff, but
sure,
I can't because it's endearing. And
listen,
it's revealing of you to share with everybody, so
sure,
I love that.
And I was nice to you at the beginning of the
show. Yes, you were.
And I
Thank
had some
you.
Things I was going to say, and I didn't.
Thank you.
So you better watch out, girl.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
We're good.
And honestly.
He loves to pick on me. If you all haven't seen it, go watch last season.
Oh, please. Last season, I said you had 4 dates on Valentine's Day, and I was like, that's because you could get 4 dates.
Aw, I did. We went back to the videotape, and apparently I took it the wrong way. So.
We had the review.
But
okay,
anyway,
Billions.
So going back to Billions and
so the
men versus women.
Well, the Rhodes, it's not a versus thing.
Oh.
It's if you're, like, if a guy is coming up to you and, you know, talking to you for the first time. And this is what was so shocking about this scene to me, was that they've been husband and wife. So has Chuck been carrying this limiting belief for years?
Oh, absolutely.
You think so?
Absolutely. Why do you think, and it's only more revealing to the times when they'd speak about money and how she makes more money than him, mm-hmm, and the bonuses that she was getting and all of that, his insecurities with her working with Axe. I mean, all of that, her job, his job. And this is so revealing. And I thought it was a really bold, bold move for them to put into his character. And I loved it. I loved it. It's the same thing. It's kind of the nod to when we loved the fact that the couples were good.
Yeah.
And the drama wasn't with the couples.
Right.
You know, if you understand what I'm saying, it's kind of like that. So I loved that whole revelation. It was hard. It's a hard thing to watch, though.
I think they need to dig a little bit more as to how long Chuck actually felt this way, because from what it sounded like, they had a dinner party recently and Chuck was there dressed in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Really, does she need to get upset about that? Like, it's not really a huge deal.
Right.
I didn't take it as
well,
huge.
I think
did you?
I tried to understand, and then I was understanding that first she probably specifically asked that because she said, even to the therapist, he always has to show who he is. And that's one of her issues with him, that he always has to say, this is my job, this is my career. Like, he has to show I'm, you know, who I am. And this is how he does it, through his clothes. And she's just over that. She wants to break him down and him to be him. She wants him to show up as Chuck at the party, not Chuck trying to, like, you know, arrest everybody.
Okay. I guess that makes that makes more sense to me than just he didn't dress right for the party.
No, I mean, I don't... And this is where men and women in communication.
Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Exactly, because if you don't listen to that, it's not about that. It's not, I told you, you didn't do it. It's, this is why I wanted this to go that way. Mm-hmm. But speaking of, how about his new little girl at jiu-jitsu?
We did see, I wrote the character's name down, Melanie. Mm-hmm. Melanie for Chuck, ? I wrote, choke fantasy. Because
that's interesting.
While they're doing the karate, there was some smiling happening from Chuck as he's getting leg choked by Melanie. You know, he's kind of looking at her. And if you go back and watch it, you'll see he's got a full tooth smile happening. And we know he likes, you know, the BDSM. Mm-hmm. So it's,
which we haven't seen.
Which we haven't seen in a long time. But maybe there's a little foreshadowing there. In the karate. So, all right, so you brought Melanie up. What do you want to say about her?
Well, you're seeing the two of them at therapy, working through it. He's very revealing. And then all of a sudden, he's kind of hitting on this girl who I love that he was like, don't be easy with me. Like, don't go easy, you know, like.
Sure. And then she kicks his ass.
Yeah. Totally. Which I loved also.
Yeah.
But he likes that, as you just pointed out. So it's kind of like, she mentioned, oh, I'm a sculptor and I do this. And he's like, I'd love to see your work.
What's wrong with that?
He's hitting on her.
So?
They're trying to work out their marriage.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, maybe Chuck is sensing that this is not going somewhere. And, you know, they're in a separation. And Wendy's expressed some pretty hard feelings. And you got a good-looking girl who... who plays into your fetishes, and, you know, perhaps it was too much for him to overcome, and he just went for it. Time out. They didn't touch each other or anything.
Touch each other.
But I mean, like, the flirting was very verbal. It was a flirtatious conversation.
Right.
But it was nothing like cheating level or.
No, I'm not saying he's cheating. I'm saying he's flirting. Why are you flirting with someone else when you're trying to work through your marriage?
I'm sure it's a difficult time for him.
Oh,
so
you
it's
are.
Like,
oh, my. Go back to the dating.
No, listen. It's a tough time for Chuck. I'm sure it's probably flattering to think, hey, I'm not good enough for my wife right now. And here's someone who actually
puts me in a chokehold.
Might give
so
a shit.
They should care. Which somebody pointed out is a triangle choke.
Oh, okay. You got the live chat up right now?
Yep.
Oh, great.
So that's kind of interesting, actually, that it's a triangle choke, because if that's the truth, then...
Ooh.
You know, Billions doesn't miss a beat, people.
But time out. But I think let's be honest, I think Chuck kind of has a point. If there was going to be a triangle, it would be with Wendy attracting some outside interest first before Chuck. I mean, let's all be real here.
I thought the last guy was with the space stuff.
Oh, that's my buddy, by the way. Yeah, that's my, like, classmate from Michigan.
I didn't get through that episode.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Wilk. That's my boy.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
I've seen him before.
He's on Zoo right now on CBS. Oh. But I talked to him. He's going to come on.
Yay!
Yeah, for show. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to have Jimmy
cool.
on. Hedeker. Craig Hedeker is the billionaire that he plays in Billions. And
who dates the 21-year-olds.
Who dates the 21-year-olds.
I thought there was fire between him and Wendy last episode.
I hope so. I think that would be great. Now, it's funny because I know him in real life, and you know, he's married and just had his little baby boy is like 2 months old.
Aww,
so
congratulations.
Yeah, it's so funny to see him out there doing that. But yeah, I think Wendy really would attract somebody like that in this world that we're talking about sooner than I think Chuck may.
Well, you're playing into exactly what Chuck's worried about.
I know, but that's
exactly
what I'm saying. So then he gets to the point where he goes, okay, I'm probably not going to get my wife back. Here's a little cutie. I mean, look, he was probably aroused after he got
with
the karate, and here's the woman who did
not
it to
nothing.
Him.
It looks like he's aroused when he's fighting the guy, too.
There was a little bit of weirdness.
Last time, the guy got to his knees and he was like, it was so awkward. I was like, dude, you're supposed to be the coach.
Yeah, I thought at first that the karate thing was more because Chuck was like preparing for a brawl and it was a physical representation of what was going on in the rest of the plot. But it seems now that's not the case. But I want to flip marriages here and go from Chuck and Wendy to talking about Lara and Bobby. You know, this season, just two episodes ago at the Alpha Cup, Lara's out there saying, well, you know, I hear that other people talk about having trouble in their marriages, as if to say,
bold,
mine's fine.
Bold.
And here we go. We've got a problem here. We've got Lara out there trying to launch a IV drip business. And have you ever been to Vegas? Of course you've been to Vegas, but there's this place called Hangover Heaven.
No.
And it is this exact business. I've been there a few times.
It's different than just the oxygen machines?
Yes, it's actual IVs. You go there.
Hangover Heaven.
It's called Hangover Heaven. I highly recommend it. If you ever go late, and we all go late in Vegas, you're up till 5, 6 in the morning. But it's called Hangover Heaven. You go there, it's $100, and they hook you up to an IV, and you get an IV for an hour. And they give you Gatorade, and you sit there, and it rehydrates you. So the reason why you're hungover is because you're dehydrated. Mm-hmm. So after that, you feel like $1 million, and you feel like you could go back out. So essentially, what Lara is doing is the same thing, but for financial firms. And so at the beginning of the episode, we have Bobby who says, do you really think you're ready for that? Ready to take some venture capital to expand her business? And
go to the next level.
And Lara says, yeah, I'm ready. Now, here's my question to you. Did you think Bobby's communication to her in that moment was clear enough to warrant the tough love that he gave her at the end of the episode?
No. I thought it was a little lacking when he said that. But I did think that his attitude towards her and this idea was dismissive.
Okay.
A little bit. Especially when she said, I came here, and he was like, well, you mean the guy who's out to get you? You know, I felt it was belittling. It was dismissive. I'm not actually saying that's bad, because I do feel like she just came out of nowhere with this idea and she's, you know, infiltrating his workspace. And I thought there was a weird crossover there, but I didn't think there was enough communication. She's tough. Sure. We know this. She's a tough cookie. She's a businesswoman. We've heard that phrase now three times in the last two episodes. And I get it. But if you are, you have to know these things. You can't just be tough and a businesswoman.
It reminded me of Shark Tank. If you ever watch Shark Tank, one of the things Kevin O'Leary, who is Mr. Wonderful, says is there's nothing proprietary about this. Anybody can come along and do the same thing. And all of the points that Bobby was making, you know, you haven't identified, you know, the segment of people that you're going after. Right. You have competition.
Nothing to patent.
Yeah. But I think he could have pointed out those things. And I love what you said about him being dismissive, because that's where I think he misstepped. Not in the actual advice that he gave her. And he ran all of it down. Now, he did give her a warning and say, I do not want to have this conversation with you right now. I'm in a hurry. I'm not in the right state of mind.
Yeah.
And she pushed him on it.
He actually said, I can't have this conversation the way you need it.
Ah.
Which I thought, as a woman, ladies who's watching, like, how many times do you need to be communicated to a specific way? Yeah. And, you know, like, I have a relationship right now where I'm so thankful, because for the first time, I feel like that person is communicating with me in the way that I need it. So it's like, I know they understand me. And if it's tough love, I take it and receive it really well, because as well as I can, being a fiery Italian woman.
So when Jason says something to you, you take it well?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's it. So when he says that, you receive it well. So we all know what that means. So for him to say that, he really knows Lara. Like, he knows what she needs. But then he goes on and just spits this stuff out. And she was offended. You saw her face.
Yep.
But I'm sure she picks herself up from the bootstraps from this and just goes on.
See, I think she's going to take it the wrong way.
And
get upset about it. But I think you made a brilliant point, which is he said, not the way you want to.
Yeah.
And
Need.
Not the way you need. And a lot of times with... I've learned in communicating with women is when something is wrong, then you just need to listen and the man doesn't have to fix it.
Yeah.
And so he fixed it real quick tonight. And I thought if he had instead listened to her and maybe gave her some feedback when she asked
the
for it.
The first time, yeah.
He could have handled it a little bit differently. But I do think now, after listening to you, he probably gave her the option and enough to say, you know, you're not going to like this, what I'm about to tell you. And, you know, we can have it. We can have a different conversation a different day.
Well, I do feel like he also not pawned her off on Boyd, but through that route, I don't know if that was helping her or also dismissing her.
Well, Boyd just got her in the room. Right?
Yes.
And yes. And I do
but
agree.
He could have done the same thing.
The venture capital rep was out there and just said, oh, anything for you, for Boyd and for your husband.
And then just threw that line
That's
in there.
That's a little bit belittling.
Because she actually said, because this was a personal favor.
Yeah.
And anything for your husband. And it was so weird.
Yeah, it was, that was a little heavy-handed.
The same Jason just wrote, I wonder when Lara forgot her husband is Bobby Axelrod.
Oh, Jason's watching right
yes,
now?
Yes, he is.
Jay, what's up, my man? Oh, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you helping to prep Andy. She is very appreciative of you. no, I'm kidding. He's
go Billions.
Yeah, go Billions. This was a great show.
Yeah,
let's move into our
You're
final.
You're so
segment.
Happy to have me back, aren't you?
I really am. Honestly,
good.
You're
I'm glad.
Amazing.
Thanks.
All right, predictions are coming up right now.
Oh my god!
Now you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Did I make you blush a little bit?
No, these lights are.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. It's hot in here. It's always hot.
Okay, so do you have a hot take for next week?
Yes. I mean, of course. I have so many ideas from everywhere.
How about this? You tell me what the Melanie Chuck thing is going to turn out
to
be.
Oh, you really? Interesting. Melanie, I just saw my notes, and we didn't even talk about Dake and all of his...
I don't really think nothing happened. There was a big. He's going after Lonnie.
But talking
he's
about
identified
predictions,
Lonnie.
That's where I think something's really going to boil over next episode.
Okay.
With Rhodes, and it was good to see. I'm blanking on his name. The first one I'm blanking on.
Brian.
Brian, thank you. Yep. Come around. And kind of defend him again. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. They've been on a long path, and I feel like that just came back about. As far as Melanie and Rhodes, I think it'll be a teaser. I think it will eventually come up somewhere, and it will make Wendy jealous. She will find out about it.
Okay.
If I know Billions and the way they do things, I absolutely believe that. And you know what also? The way she said, I'm a sculptor, seemed a little...
Sexual.
Omitting something, yeah, like there was something special, so maybe they'd go to a party and she's the sculptor of the gallery, whatever it is. Their paths cross, and I believe Wendy will be there for it.
Ooh,
that's my prediction.
Okay, I like that one.
Yes, thank you.
I think that Boyd is going to cut a deal with Rhodes and is ultimately going to be played against Axe. I think because Boyd showed that ability before in wanting to cut out some of his middlemen last week, we learned that Boyd was willing to compromise by firing some of his mid-level guys who had run into ethics problems based on internal review. So I think what Chuck's going to attempt to do here is to ultimately get Axe at the end of the day, and this resuscitation of this case is going to bring up additional conflicts, I think, between Brian and, you know, Kate and the other people in the office. I don't know where the Dake thing is going now because Chuck has gotten so far along in this inquiry into Boyd and has been so successful in getting on tape exactly what he wanted to do. Through working, you know, Tom McKinnon to wear that pen microphone and getting Boyd on tape. I mean, it's an open and shut case. It's dead cold to rights, but Boyd's not the ultimate target. Boyd was the one to buy Chuck some time with the Attorney General.
That's all that was.
Axe is the real target.
Absolutely.
And there's no love lost between those two guys.
No, and also keeping his job alive. Yeah. On another note, this, like you said, was a three-day fix for Axelrod, and we've only seen 48 hours. Right. So obviously in the next episode will be that third day, how he kind of saves, you know, his company from coming out of the red or not. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm going to parrot something that Brian Koppelman said on Twitter, which was, hold on to your seat because it only ramps up from here. So it's going to get exciting. But anyway, any final thoughts before we close out,
Andy? No, I'm shocked about the Steph Reed thing, about her getting fired. Yeah. And I know we opened with Johnny Cash, so I loved that little ode to Johnny Cash at the beginning and the end. And no, we saw a bit of our boy Dollar Bill.
Yeah. Kelly's been criminally underused this season.
I can't wait. He's going to have his moment.
Let's hope so.
I feel like we're working up to that. So that's another prediction.
Okay, good. We want Kelly Alcoin back out there.
Mm-hmm. The enigma that he presented in front of Axelrod.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say anything. Oh, you're just like, what?
You know what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
I am not uncertain.
Oh, yeah. Right. Nice.
Yeah.
That was good.
All right. We're closing out on that. That's it. That's all for this week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Billions. We'll be back next week, same time. Until then, we have been Andrea Fasano.
Yes, guys. Make sure to follow me on all social media at Andy Fasano. And let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. We'd love to read your thoughts at the top of the show next week. I am your lead host, Frank Majorana. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Go Frank M. The full crew's back. We'll be back next week. Go out, be blessed. We'll see you soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.